Come, Holy Spirit, touch our minds and think with them. Touch our lips and speak with them. And touch our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Act out this story in a particular way, not like the other in our liturgy. And you all look at the crowd, and that's feels awkward at first. And I noticed time the page turn might have caught us by surprise. Oh yeah, our turn. And of course, we started playing the part of the crowd out there. Hey, Jews. We get into the rhythm of things. We play along, we move along together. The crowd. And we always want to be one of the crowd too, don't we? You know, when you're high school, any high schoolers here? Yeah, you want to be in the crowd, right? You don't want to stick out. I just did it to you. I'm so sorry. I will not for a couple minutes. But anyway, it's this crowd for just a moment. At one level, crowd is good. Game, you all cheer the team that you love, especially if you root for the Chicago Cubs. So it's been a rough couple of days here, but at any rate, the crowd today is a force of hope. It's a crowd whose voice gets going and it can't seem to stop itself. We know that. And at the center of this crowd, both out there and in here, is Jesus. And I want to take you back to a different place teaching. And taught. He didn't just open the lecture hall and say, today I'm going to teach about this. He taught because circumstances along the way gave him something that he needed to offer. Do you remember the woman caught in adultery? Remember that one? He comes along caught in adultery. The stones are ready. Stones in hand. Jesus says, you who is without sin, cast the first stone. Somebody's teaching around here. That's good. That's good. Right. And what happens? Nada. That doesn't run. Because crowds don't work that way. Crowds don't call a particular person to lead. The crowd good or bad. And Jesus takes that human nature in us and says, don't put it away. There's a different way to be. And he walks that path of relentless love. He offers the face of God. But we don't know what to do with that. And so the crowd, fearing a different way, reacts. Particularly led, by the way, by the chief priests. That should make you very nervous, particularly here at St. Timothy's, because you have so many priests and deacons. So, you know, watch out. Be afraid. Be very afraid. But we all know that those who have authority can manipulate the crowd, can manipulate us. And Jesus calls out that behavior. And calls for a different way. Calls for a different kingship of and loving. Some of you all have seen the beautiful movie, the King's Speech, right? Of King George and his stutter. But what you might not know is the depth of his king living, and I would even say ministry. There's a story about the bombing of Coventry, which was horrendous. The cathedral and much of the town was destroyed. This was in the early days of World War II and the Blitzkrieg. And one of the neighborhood that was particularly hit hard was where the mayor of Coventry was living. And he was in his home after this horrendous night bombing, trying to establish order, and his wife was there. And there came a knock at the door, their front door. And his wife hollered out, "You'll have to come around back. The hinges are broke." And there was a knock at the back door. And she opens the door, and there's the King of England. That's kingship of a different kind. That is humility that Paul spoke of in the Philippians, that emptying oneself to be a servant of all, going where there is harm and suffering and hurt, and trying to assuage with hope. I don't know if that's why this was true, but Coventry as a community had a special charism, particularly surrounding this cathedral that was totally wiped out by the bombing. And when they began to envision after the war rebuilding the cathedral, that spirit rued the day. They fashioned a cross out of nails that covered our cathedral. A cross of nails. Put that at the center of the ruin. And to this day, you can read there, "Father, forgive." And out of that spirit is a worldwide community called the Community of the Cross of Nails, committed to reconciliation. That is our citizenship of this King. In these tender days, where we have just begun by rushing from the procession of palms, the adulation of the crowd, to the condemnation and crucifixion, we now move into Holy Week, and I pray, go deeper into this mystery. I want to lead with this, though, an image that we can almost miss as we contemplate the Passion. And that is this. If you recall, at the death of Jesus, the earth shakes. It's going to shake again to move that stone that's just been set. We'll hear the story on Easter. But this earth quaking causes other tombs to open. And we're told that the saints at that moment. Now, wait a second. I thought Easter was a day of resurrection. For Matthew, the cross, the suffering and passion of Jesus, is intricately connected with resurrection. It is the moment of transformation and change. It's the moment that the world stops being a world of retribution as the way, that the crowd's only way is to pick up stones and throw them at one. And because of this differentiated moment, it all changes. We all have the power to be the one who puts down the stone, who goes the extra mile and humbles themselves for those who are suffering, who kneels before a cross of nails and says, "Father, forgive them for everything that they have done," and lives into a different life of love. And so, beloved in Christ, the ways into Jerusalem, into that crooked path, through a table set before us of Eucharist, through our own betrayals and our own humanity, through our own brokenness, to the foot of the cross, let us feel the earth move and saints arise, and we will rise with them.